In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The crowds had followed Jesus from Bethany to Jerusalem. They had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, and so they cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Hosanna is a word that means literally, "Save us, please," or "Come to our rescue." But it had also come to mean, "I wish you a blessing." So the crowd added, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." These are words from Psalm 118, verse 26, which was prayed at Passover, and words that were also used to greet pilgrims coming to the holy city. Yes, Jesus is the King of Israel. So it would be proclaimed, and so it would be written and posted above his head, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Now, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he was astride a donkey, a sign of his humility, perhaps, the epistle reading we had, a donkey rather than a war horse. But see, it's also a sign of kingship for Israel. So it was also for Solomon, the son of David. When he rode David's own donkey as he was being proclaimed the king of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 28 to 40. See, if you don't need a show of force, if you are the king entering your own dominion, presumably a slower, steadier animal is a more comfortable mount. But regardless of the reason, the Israelite kings had always elected to ride donkeys when they were at home in their own kingdoms. So the crowd also cut leafy branches. See, they didn't have any confetti. There wasn't any time to make banners. They used what they had at hand to show their jubilation for the Anointed One. John is unique among the four Gospels in recording for us that they are palm branches, much like the ones you can pick up outside the church and display at your home this week. And if you don't have palm branches, then display whatever sign of joy you have at hand. Because why did they do that? Well, palm branches are the sign of victory. And this king, who so recently had raised Lazarus from the dead, now enters Jerusalem amid all the signs and trappings of the coming king of Israel. And his symbolism is picked up again in Revelation 7, 9, and 10, where John sees a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation! Hosanna! Belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Now you take all this together, and it would seem, perhaps at first, that all the people did understand what they were doing. It would seem they had seen Lazarus raised from the dead, and they connected all the dots concerning Jesus from the Old Testament. It would seem they knew he was the one promised by God who would crush the serpent's head, whose heel would in turn be bruised. It would seem that they saw in him the promised descendant of Abraham, in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. It would seem that they knew he was the promised prophet who would be like Moses, who would be raised up from among them, to whom they should listen. It would seem that they must certainly have understood that this coming king was the true son of David, David's son, yet David's Lord, God in flesh, God made man, the Son of God who delivers his people from all their enemies. See, it would seem like they must have understood all of this, but they do not. They can't. Not until the end of the week. See, not even his disciples understand. Not fully. Not yet. For we read, his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. See, until Jesus is glorified, you can't fully grasp who he is. So when is that? When is Jesus glorified? Isn't it today? Isn't it Palm Sunday? Though these shouts of acclamation, these palm branches waved aloft, this kingly animal, all point to Jesus' glory? Well, yes, but not in the way we might think. For the time of Jesus' glorification is his hours on the cross. That is truly his glory. Now, no onlooker to these events would have thought it glorious. If anyone had followed Jesus from Palm Sunday to Good Friday, they all alike would have said, "No, dear Lord. Go back. Go back to Palm Sunday. Let us have you as our king in glory. We would not have you as our bruised Lord, our bleeding Lord, our dying Lord. Let us have you as you were on Sunday. Dear Lord, go back." No, dear Christian. Go forward. Go forward from this day to Good Friday. See your Lord in glory, not as the world counts glory, but as God counts it. Christ's glory is his cross. That's when he's truly glorified. And though it looks terrible, though it looks gruesome, though it looks like the opposite of glory, listen to what he himself says about it. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Now you might think at first that he's talking about his ascension, being lifted up from the earth. But John clarifies it with this sentence. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. His being lifted up from the earth, the act that draws all men to himself, is his crucifixion. That is his glory. See, Jesus' glory is not Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is just the prelude. Jesus is most certainly the King of Israel and David's royal son. Is the one who has come to save God's people, and the only one who can answer the cry, "Hosanna, save us." But he saves by dying, and in his dying, he conquers. He casts down the devil from his pretentious throne. He topples sin from the pinnacle of our hearts. He even buries death in the dust, but not on Palm Sunday, on Good Friday, This is Holy Week. This is the time the church sets aside to reflect and meditate, and especially to hear again and again about Jesus' most glorious week. We do not look with the eyes of flesh. We do not visibly see Jesus hanging before us, but we perceive with eyes of faith. Ours is a seeing of the ear. When you hear, read, and proclaim that this, your Lord, does for you. But neither can you stop on Good Friday. No, dear Christian, go forward to Easter Sunday, the festival of the resurrection of our Lord. Now, Easter is not the battle. Good Friday, that's the victory. And Easter is the celebration of that victory, when the event that looked like defeat was proven to be the victory of God. For he also rises for you. Today, we know more than the disciples did, more than the crowds did, more than Pilate did, more than Caiaphas. So let us sing our hosannas with no hint of irony, but with the full understanding that this is how our King, who comes in the name of the Lord, does save us. Let us wave the palm branches of victory, knowing the cost of that victory. So if you haven't already picked up your palm branches from outside the church, come before 3 o'clock and get one. Or call me. I'll be happy to drive one by your house. Let's put them on our front doors and our front windows for the whole world to see. Let them see that we still call upon Christ, the Son of David, to come and save us. From COVID-19, sure. But much, much more, from everlasting death and from our sins. That's where Palm Sunday is leading us. It's leading us to the cross of Christ, and from there, to forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow thy meek head to mortal pain, then take, O God, thy power and reign. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.